show, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. What's up, Goz?
What up, homes?
Not much, man. Getting ready for Christmas. Can't wait.
That should be a good time.
Still got a little shopping to do, but then
a little
it'll be fun to hang out with the family and eat some good food.
I feel like it's not a little.
Okay.
I feel like you got a lot to do.
Okay, I have yet to start my Christmas shopping. But
it's kind of a Christmas tradition in itself.
At this point, yeah, it is. And I'm looking forward to it. So, but first, we got to get out one of our last shows of the year. Quick note, we won't do our second show of the week this week because we will be in California still. So, advance. Merry Christmas to everybody, and for those that don't celebrate Christmas but you celebrate another holiday, then the general happy holiday season's greetings to you all, and whatever day you do celebrate, may it be a joyous occasion with family and friends. But we got some work to do here. We got to recap two Bellator events, Goz, that were back-to-back this past weekend, and then sandwiched in between was UFC in South Korea. Busan was the name of the city, to be more exact. And that, of course, took place right as Bellator was ending. A few hours later, they kicked off over there, man. It was one of those late-night affairs, like the old-school Pride days. Remember those?
Yeah, it was kind of brutal. I mean, at least with Pride, you're seeing superstar after superstar after superstar. This wasn't the case.
Yeah. All right. So we'll definitely get into that. Buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday. Ever hear about the ex-football star who robbed a Brinks truck, tucked $400,000 under his arm like a football, and escaped using an inner tube? Then you'll want to listen to Season 1 of The Sneak, a podcast by For the Win and USA Today Sports. Take a quick listen to the man who pulled it off.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened.
I didn't just one day wake up and decide to rob an armored truck. There were smaller things that had happened. I promised, like, myself, this is the last thing I was going to do. The more, like, elaborate something is, and the more moving parts, but that's more shit that can, like, go wrong. I made some crucial errors. Number one, I escaped on an inner tube. Number two, I hired decoys to help me pull off the robbery. Every single thing I wanted to do, I did. My transformation, I guess, as a person, came at the worst time of my life. I pulled this off. I wasn't worried about money anymore, but I was more miserable than ever. No money can change, like, who somebody is as a person. I was busted by a homeless guy.
The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports, streaming only on Wondery Plus. Subscribe at Wondery.com/PLUS.
So we'll start things off in order. On Friday night in Hawaii, it was Bellator 235. Which they were referring to as Bellator and the USO. Salute the troops. Toby Misich defeated Eric Perez in the main event. KO punch. If I had one of those turntables, I would have done some scratching there. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What happened to Josh Barnett? I thought he and Hani Marks was going to be in the main event. No. The bout was canceled after Barnett pulled out due to illness. That, along with the doctor suggesting he not fight, is what happened. Josh did a post on social media saying that the night before, he just kind of woke up with clammy hands, cold sweats, headache. Did not feel well at all. So a last-minute illness pulled him out, and that's why Toby Misich was able to defeat Eric Perez in the main event. 1 minute is all it took. Less than a minute, excuse me, in the first round is all it took for that to happen. That was Goyito Perez from the UFC who moved over to Bellator and wanted to make his name there. Not off to a good start. At a catch weight of 141.4 pounds. Co-main event featured another catch weight, 126.8 pounds. Alejandro Lara defeated Vita Arteaga. And I'm kind of giggling here, guys, because somewhere along the news, I got a bunch of news nuggets. I saw that Dylan Danis is going to be on an upcoming card at the catch weight of 175 pounds. What is Bellator doing?
I don't know.
Like, what are their fighters doing?
I think because they're putting things together so late notice that they just tell fighters, hey, you willing to fight this guy? How about if we do this?
And well, Lara missed and took responsibility. But, yeah, I'm just seeing a lot of that. There was another catch weight of 180 pounds on the prelims. So Alejandro Lara defeated Vita Arteaga, Taiwan Claxton defeated Braden Aquio, and Joey Davis defeated Chris Cisneros. That was the main card there. But, yeah, there was like three fights at catch weights and a lot of decisions over at Bellator. So the finishes are what kind of got me out of my seat a little bit. But
well, Goyito
is going to be a little painful, man, when there's too many in a row.
For being the main event, I mean, I guess it probably ended well for Hawaiian fans because – a Hawaiian won in the main event, so they're pretty happy about that. But I would imagine most people paid their entrance to see Josh Barnett.
Oh yeah.
So for him not to come out, I mean, I want to say, oh my god, that sucks, that's terrible, but really, we always talk about fighter safety, and this just seems like something that made sense. The guy was not feeling good. If you go to Hani Marks, it's not like he was sitting there going, oh, this guy's a faker or anything like that. He said he looks pretty supportive. Bad. Yeah. Scott Coker, the commission, everybody said this shouldn't happen, and I agree it shouldn't have. The only finger you can maybe point is, look, if these cards were just a little bit more stacked, you could stomach some of these type of things.
Yeah.
If I'm a consumer and I'm going to buy a ticket to one of these shows, I'm going to keep that in mind. What if the main event falls apart? Like, what am I left with from the bang for my dollar? And I don't know that the rest of the card did that. Co-main was good. And I guess what ended up being the main event was fun. Goyito didn't really get off, though. He didn't really get to do much.
Not much was happening, yeah.
So not a lot really happened, but...
They're trying to rebook it for Bellator. I guess it would be 237. No, I apologize. That's the one happening with Bellator and Ryzen in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
In about a week, to be exact. Bellator 238 is at the Forum in Inglewood, California on January 25th of 2020. They're looking to do that, except Scott Coker saying, well, that card's kind of made. And we looked at it, and that fight we just mentioned, the one with Dylan Danis, I know that's their Colby Covington, their bad boy or whatever, but it's a catchweight fight. He's still growing. Shove Josh in there with Hani Marks. I'd rather see that.
And they just announced it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather see that one. That one's got another quarterfinal Grand Prix matchup as well. It's got Julia Budd against Chris Cyborg, Sergio Pettis is making his debut. So I think that'd be a great card for them in L.A. Aaron Pico is going to be on the card. Hoist Gracie's son, Conry Gracie, is going to be on the card. A.J. Agazarm, Curtis Millender, so some local talent. Even Brandon Bender coming out of retirement after 5 years, he's on the card. But, yeah, going back to Barnett and Marks, you know, they don't have to go through the brutal weight cuts because they're heavyweights. But still, just give Josh some time to recover. You know, it's the holidays. And in a month, we can see him and Hani Marks do this thing.
That's what was so great about, I mean, I would have been happy if I was a Bellator fighter on this card, because I would have thought, wow, I get all the stress out of fighting out of the way, and now I can just enjoy the holidays. And that's probably not going to be the case. Even though they're heavyweights, you still kind of have to watch yourself. You still have to put in your time in the gym. So that probably changes a lot of things, but it was the right call.
Josh lives in Fullerton, California, about a half hour drive from LA. I'm sure he would love that. Hani Marks lives in Vegas, about a one-hour flight from L.A. I'm sure he would love it as well. Hopefully, one or both got paid, especially Marks. He was ready to go. Now, a few hours later, the fight card in South Korea, which was tabbed UFC Fight Night Edgar versus the Korean Zombie, or if you're keeping track, it's UFC Fight Night 165, or if you want to go to the modern era, it's UFC on ESPN Plus 23. That took place with the main event ending in one round, 3 minutes 18 seconds in. Chan Sung-jung, the Korean Zombie, defeated Frankie Edgar via TKO punches. Goes. He was powerful, precise, patient, surgical, clinical, whatever you want to use. He looked good.
He did. I mean, I think if I'm in the Korean Zombie's corner and we're trying to strategize, the one thing as a head coach that I would be looking out for is don't let Frankie get in there and take you down, because he does that to a lot of fighters and your whole game plan changes. You know, your body becomes drained. He makes you fight his type of fight. And it was kind of sad to see that Frankie never really used that one tool that I think everybody is most terrified of. Instead, he chose to stand and trade with the Korean Zombie, and that just didn't go his way. And for Frankie Edgar, if you've seen his past, you know, these start to mount up. Just because he maybe didn't suffer a loss in certain fights, it doesn't mean that he didn't take some of the shots that he took. And you go back to the Gray Maynard fight. I mean, that guy was probably concussed a few times in that fight, right? Yeah. Like, so you add those in, and then what happened with Brian Ortega. It's just a lot, and it's something that I hope somebody in Frankie Edgar's camp, a coach, training partners, family members, somebody's got to tell him, look, man, don't even think about taking this next fight. I mean, I don't even think the commission would allow it, but just get that idea out of your head. And, you know, it kind of sucks now because you look at another card and now that card's going to have a hole.
Did Chan Sung-jung do anything to upset the UFC's tentative plans of booking the rematch with Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway? I mean, South Korea was popping. They had some fighters that won. They had a very knowledgeable crowd. They have a deep, rich tradition in combat sports, in boxing more particularly, and now MMA is rising. And the Korean Zombie's been a star for many years. He has had one title fight in 2013, but what do you think? Do you think he did anything to, you know, put a wrinkle in those other plans? Remember, Zabit Magomed Sharipov is kind of hanging around as well. Maybe match those two up if they're going to run the other one back?
That would be pretty cool. The only way I would ever really entertain that is if it were in Korea, and they just went there, so I don't think that's going to happen. So realistically, looking at some of the moves from the past, I don't see that
plus
happening.
Plus, Volkanovski got the surgery on the hand now.
Yeah.
So I guess.
But matching him up with Zabit, I'm down with that.
Me too. All right, and with Edgar, now 135, it's just got to be, right?
It has to.
After some time, we need 6 months off, right?
Maybe even
for sure not Corey Sanhagen.
No.
Yeah, look, he just needs some time off. The bantamweight division is it's got more clarity now. We have a champion, Henry Cejudo, who's dedicating himself to 135 pounds, and he's gonna fight probably Aldo, I imagine, or Sterling or Yan. I don't know why, but I think they're gonna go with Aldo, and which would pit Sterling versus Yan. So Edgar can honestly take some time off and just see how everything plays out. Mm-hmm. You still got other killers in there like Munoz, Garbrandt, Asuncao. I think Garbrandt and Asuncao are actually doing the dance. But you get, you know, even Sanhagen. You got some time, I guess, for now, for him to just let himself heal up and make a splash. I mean, he's never really fought at 135.
Yeah, just get out of jail card.
This would be a chance for him to make a splash and do well. In the meantime, he collected a paycheck, but things did not go well for Frankie Edgar in South Korea. Volkan Ozdemir defeated Alexander Rakic in a split decision. Controversial fight, controversial win for Ozdemir. Most scored it for Rakic, including yours truly. I think Ghost can chime in on his score. But, Rakic and Johnny Walker, two guys that were, you know, skyrocketing towards the top versus John Jones, and now they've taken a loss to a veteran in Volkan Ozdemir in this fight and Corey Anderson in the Johnny Walker fight. So learning experience for Alexander Rakic. That said, again, I scored it for Rakic. How about yourself?
I did as well. To me, that was a fun fight. I thought it was great. I thought Rakic landed the more power punches, the more significant strikes. That's why I gave it to him. But you know, we had an interview with Anthony Smith at Quintet, and he was talking about, he kind of had a feeling that that's who was going to win the fight, that the UFC was going to kind of put them together. And if not that, then Glover Teixeira. But it's funny how just one of them really close decisions can alter your career so quickly, right? Because Rakic wins that fight. Maybe they give him Anthony Smith. That's a pretty high-profile fight. And he wins that. He's right there, right? Now he takes a backseat, and who knows what happens now, right? That's like waiting another whole year, best-case scenario. Maybe
with,
more.
With Santos and Smith going up and some of these young guns that have been doing well, you throw Reyes in the mix. Can you imagine if Anthony Johnson just decided to go back to 205, how exciting things would be? Rumored to come back at heavyweight, but he's still not back at all. But anyway, back to this card. Charles Jourdain and Doo Hoo Choi, they split $100,000. They got fight of the night. Who was the winner? It was Jourdain. He defeated Doo Hoo Choi via TKO punches in round two. Huge, huge upset. And by the way, if you took $100 on all the dogs, you would have won approximately $450 because the dogs were barking on late Friday, early Saturday. Da Eun Jung defeated Mike Rodriguez. Jun Young Park defeated Marc-Andre Barrio, excuse me. And Kyu Ho Kang defeated Liu Pingyuan, and that's a split decision win there. That was the main card. Anything you wanted to talk about there?
No, I mean, to me, just the card, it's so tough to get up that early to do those, to do these type of cards. And granted, the main card, even the main card itself, I mean, the prelims were the day before, really, when you think about it. The main card,
I got up,
I did a little bit, and I just couldn't take it, man. If there's not something that's on the line, this was pretty much about promoting that region, and I'm okay with that, and that has to happen. But it's just not mouthwatering like some of the other cards.
Cyril Gane put in some work. He went the whole 50 minutes versus Tanner Bowser. Alexander Pantoja defeated Matt Schnell via KO punches. Hani Barcelos defeated Saad Nurmagomedov. Amanda Lemos defeated Miranda Granger. Helly Alatang defeated Ryan Benoit. Benoit hadn't been back for 2 years. I thought he won, man, but he didn't get the split decision in his favor. Cost me a parlay. Omar Antonio Morales Ferrer defeated Dong Hyung Ma. And Seung Woo Koi defeated Suman Mokhtarian. So that's a recap of the prelims. Jourdain and Choi shared the $100,000 for Fight of the Night. Performance of the Night went to Chan Sung Jung, that's the Korean Zombie, and Alexander Pantoja. And Pantoja is kind of in that mix, goes for the flyweight division. So I'm going to say something here. It's really a news nugget, but remember I mentioned what Henry Cejudo announced recently, right? Mm-hmm. So that basically leaves Davison Figueiredo to fight Joseph Benavidez for the vacant UFC flyweight title. However, keep an eye on this guy, Pantoja. He had won quite a few fights, and Davison Figueiredo took him out. But since then, he's now defeated Matt Schnell. He could factor in the flyweight. They're going to slowly rebuild that flyweight division. Keep an eye on that Pantoja guy.
Do you really believe that, though?
What?
Even though they're going to crown a new champion, mm-hmm. I still feel like they're one result away from just saying, you know what, enough.
No, I don't think they could do that to the guys. I think they went through the cuts. Now they went through it staying there and rebuilding, and now I think they're willing to see it through for another. I think it'd be a three-year project. I don't think so? They could do it off like one or two fights and then go, pull one the year. Plug.
In 1 year, I bet you they're going to be doing this all again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we just had...
You had Demetrius Johnson and Henry Cejudo. But I mean, Brandon, those guys are sexy names. They're good fighters.
Brandon Moreno and Kai Kara France had a hell of a fight. Like,
it comes down to that. If we're all at the UFC Expo, there are not very many people in the Kai Kara France line.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not very many people in the Brandon Moreno line.
All right. Well, that was Saturday night. Late Friday, early Saturday. Then we get to Bellator Saturday night card. This one was Bellator 236. Elima Leigh McFarlane defeated Kate Jackson. AJ McKee defeated Derek Campos. Jason Jackson defeated Keiichi Kunimoto. Juliana Velasquez defeated Bruna Allen. Rafion Stotts defeated Chaden Lea Aloha. Zachary Zane defeated Nyona Dung. Now, The notable wins here were Elimele McFarlane, who defeated Kate Jackson to remain the Bellator flyweight champion. This is now her fourth title defense goes. So they got themselves, quite an asset over there in Elimele McFarlane, and they keep going back to Hawaii with her. So she is literally one of their biggest stars.
Mm-hmm.
The walkout, what about that?
Walkout is awesome. It's insane every single time. We actually got to see one live.
In Temecula. Really cool. Imagine seeing one in Honolulu.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And I love that girl. Everything she says, she's very good with the mic. She's very good on social media. She's a great fighter. It's just we can't really tell where she's at in her career because Bellator doesn't sign enough people for her to fight. She needs more credible opponents. I mean, you could just tell early on in this fight that this was going to be Elimele's night. You know, it was almost like a glorified sparring session, really, is what it was.
AJ McKee advances in the Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix. He defeated Derek Campos. So they're now in the quarterfinal stages. That means there's eight left, and now he'll be one of the four that'll be left in the semifinals. Thoughts on him?
AJ doesn't let anybody breathe. The only finish
of the main card, by the way.
He doesn't let anybody breathe. Like, I don't know where he gets this card. I mean, granted, I guess his dad had some pretty amazing cardio, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a monster. But this cat gets the finishes. He gets the finishes. He's on top of you from the get-go. There's no breathing whatsoever. As the level of competition goes up, it just seems like he rises to the occasion. I think this kid's going to be really good. I think he's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. In about 1 week, we'll have Bellator 237 to look forward to. Fedor Emelianenko versus Quinton Jackson. Michael Chandler versus Sidney Outlaw. That was supposed to be Benson Henderson. Keita Nakamura versus Lorenz Larkin. Other notable fighters, Darren Cruikshank, Michael Venom Page. They're also on the card. I was just thinking, goes, it's too bad. That's a co-promotion with Ryzen. If we just took like the baddest 10 fights out of these three cards, Bellator could have had themselves a great end of the year pay per view.
Yeah, and I think the first time they did
granted, they're with DAZN, but still, I think they could have done something. UFC's double paywalling, so I don't see why DAZN could.
I would pay to see some of those names. Those are good quality names.
But they spread themselves out this way, and it's hit or miss whether people want to stay, stay up and watch these fights, whatever time zone they're in, or watch it on delay, or do they have DAZN? It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Now, I think it's some time, now that we've recapped the events, let's go into some of these news nuggets. All right, guys. We've kind of covered a couple of these. We're going to jump around a little bit from Bellator to UFC to PFL. But Kevin Lee, he made a speech at Bernie Sanders' rally. Threw in a couple jabs there at Trump, Colby Covington, but thought he did well. And he put himself out there, man, to stand on one side, on one political side. I'm sure it gained him some fans. I'm sure it lost him some fans.
You know, Kevin Lee was I don't want to say one of the last guys expected to do that, but to put himself out there in that situation, you don't know how many fighters would be nervous to do something like that. Kevin Lee has some balls to go out there and do something like that. And he did it. And, I mean, he got the crowd at his back. They were cheering. He did a good job. And I'm proud of the guy, man. I think that's really cool that he believes passionate enough in something that he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. Because when he comes on our show, he's always talking about bettering himself, bettering his brothers, bettering the community. But he actually does go out and do those things. You know, he went with us on a military trip one time. And he was very inspirational. So to see him do something like that in that world, in the political world, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Elimele McFarlane, the Bellator women's flyweight champ, she wants to be a champ, goes, and go to bantamweight. But you and I have been saying for the last three or four episodes of Junkie Radio, like, enough with the champs. They don't defend. Mm-hmm. Now, if she wants to do the way I call it, and that's, okay, you get to fight for it, but once you win, whether it's a week or a month, you got to give one up. Look at what happened with Henry Cejudo. Like, what if he had just given that up 6 months ago? That division could have already, been flourishing, you know what I mean? But instead, it was at a standstill, and what had to happen had to happen, even though I'm pretty sure Henry knew where he wanted to go, where, you know, the bread was buttered. Probably a little bit more money at the bantamweight division. But I see this and I'm like, well, she's got every right to ask. That's her fourth title defense. And if this clears the way for her teammate Liz Carmouche to maybe make a move at flyweight, okay, I get all that. But please, Bellator, learn from the UFC. You got one of your own in Ryan Bader. He hasn't defended light heavyweight in a long time. I mean, you know, just do it, but do it with your you set the conditions.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense right now. I mean, why add all that to the mix? Get her credible opponents and just build her up even more, because she's a star in the making and her skills are good. They really are. I think they have something with her. But to sit there and now tie it, just put her in another division makes no sense to me, man. It's just not the right time. I don't even know that it ever is a right time. I'm starting to really get over this champ stuff.
Me too. All right. Alex Pereira, the guy who knocked out Israel Adesanya last in kickboxing, A, he's calling out Israel Adesanya. He says he can do it again in MMA. And B, he actually defended his title. He's the Glory kickboxing middleweight champion, and he just knocked out an opponent on Saturday at Glory 74. Devastating left hook by Alex Pereira. This was on the Rico and Badar Hari kickboxing card there. I don't know if you caught any of it, but I like the fact that he's playing the Izzy card. If you ever were going to do it while you're winning and while Izzy's at the top. You know what I mean? If you're going to do something like this.
I mean, I think we all know what happens if he crosses over. It just doesn't make too much sense, but it is something that if I had
Israel crossed over.
Yeah, but it took some time. He didn't just jump into a huge fight like that, right? Like, that's a huge fight.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're fighting
Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
Like, for one, I don't think they would do it. But if you're the UFC and you sign a guy like that, you're not going to really – you have to throw him into the fire, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to build that guy up, right? Your payoff is that big fight. Careful what you wish for. I mean, times change. Think about – take any fighter and look how much they improve over that period of time. It's just not your world. Yeah, you know, just it's not your world. Just stay out of it.
Yeah. Here's some fight bookings. Beneil Dariush versus Dracar Close at UFC 248. UFC 248 is next year on March 7th here in Las Vegas, Nevada. The fight card is still kind of coming together, but what we know is Zhang Weili will be fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Neil Magny will be fighting Jing Liang, and Robert Whittaker will be fighting Jared Cannonier. However, there's a rumor out there goes that
I think you started it.
Izzy Adesanya will be fighting Yoel Romero on that fight card too.
You think so?
That's what I'm hearing.
How do you sell it?
Fuck.
How do you sell it without twiddling your mustache and going, yeah?
I mean, it should be Paulo Costa, but he's hurt. So next up should be Jared Cannonier. The only thing you can say is we don't feel Cannonier's ready, but you just threw him in there with the Jack the Joker Hermanson, and you're willing to throw him in there against Whittaker, the former champion. Romero's lost two in a row and three of his last four. All respect to the guy. He probably, aside from Ngannou, is probably the most frightening guy that you'd ever want to meet in a dark alley. I get that. But there still has to be at least, look, give me 10% of sense when it comes to matchmaking. This makes zero sense. Yeah. You ask me for a reason, I can't think of one.
So I'm Brian Garcia from USA Today Sports. Normally I cover tennis, but the MMA guy's out today and they put me on this beat. Can somebody explain to me why didn't this guy just lose two fights? Why is he fighting for a title?
It'd be me.
That's what's so crazy.
It'd be like me saying, hey, boy, that Sharapova and Serena Williams, they dislike each other. It's Russia versus USA. Let's just put them in the finals, you know. And you tell me, well, Sharapova got eliminated like three rounds ago. You know what I mean? We'll put Serena in there because she belongs there, but we're just not going to cater to you. Well, just give me Williams' sister against Williams' sister. Doesn't that draw ratings? No, you tell me. No. The young lady that worked her way to the finals is going to play Serena Williams.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just kind of the way it works. Today, the Eagles beat the Cowboys. They're in pole position to represent the NFC East. It's as simple as that. Man.
Things have to make sense.
But it looks like it's going to happen. I mean, with the Cannonier Whitaker booking, which was the other one I was going to mention, it really looks like this is what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We bitch about it. We're bitching about it right now. But pretty soon we'll get to fight week and we'll look at each other and we'll say, oh, man, I can't believe it. Jared Cannonier is fighting Whitaker and Israel Adesanya is about to fight, you know, Yoel Romero. But it shouldn't be that way, folks. It shouldn't be that way. By the way, Pedro Munhoz, he is willing to fight Henry Cejudo. He's saying, look, Henry relinquished the UFC title. Let the flyweights do their thing. And, you know, he's willing to get in there with Henry Cejudo. And it's great that he's throwing his name in there. The only thing is I just don't think he's going to get the shot.
I don't think so either. But I like that he did it.
There's a few others that are a little bit ahead of him. It just makes no sense. He also, you know, I don't know. I think he just wants to keep his name relevant is what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'd be doing if I were him. No, it's not going to hurt.
Dylan Danis, is this guy a star?
For Bellator, I think he's starting to become one.
That was another fight booking. At a catch weight in over a month, but yet they're going to accommodate this guy at 175 pounds. Not sure why that's happening. Keegan Kendrick, that's the same slot we were saying where they should move Josh Barnett versus Honey Marks. Does it drive you nuts?
A little, just because it's just not a fight that has to happen, right? I think his opponent's like 0-0 or something like that. Like, it just really doesn't make much sense. So if anything, that can be moved. But I also understand that Dylan Danis is a guy that Bellator really wants to build into a star, much like
all
they
because
did
he's a bad boy. The minute he loses, what happens then goes, hey, see you on the prelims?
Well, I don't know, because you look at like a guy like MVP that did something similar and he got a loss, and yeah, they kind of reformatted the strategy a little bit. So he's still around, but Dylan Danis doesn't have anywhere near the amount of fights that MVP has. So I would think so. Depending on how the fight played out, I would think something like that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Explain to me something. Why does Donald Cerrone going out of his way? He's saying not going to talk badly about Conor McGregor. Plans stand-up fight at UFC 246. However, I also saw where it looks like Jorge Masvidal is already setting the tone for if he and Conor were to fight, he does not want the media kind of like on the attack. You know, like, why are you doing this? You know, that type of thing. Why is everyone catering to Conor right now?
Well, I think in the sense of Cowboy Cerrone, I think he just doesn't want to get wrapped up into those type of things. I think those back and forth really do get to him. So I think that's what he's trying to avoid. In the case of Jorge Masvidal, that one I don't get too much because Jorge's all about money, and that's going to generate a lot of money. He's going to put a lot of money in his pocket. And at the end of the day, when it comes fight night, I've never really seen a fight where I didn't feel like Jorge Masvidal didn't show up. You know, maybe somebody bested him or maybe he was injured, but he usually shows up. I have seen some Cowboy Cerrone fights where I feel like whether it was the moment or the opponent, it just seemed like he didn't use his best tools that night and maybe something got into his head. And I think that's the situation here with Conor. He doesn't want to get wrapped up in that.
He called McGregor a bad motherfucker, mm-hmm. and he challenges the critics of the potential Conor McGregor fight more like as, hey, don't bitch about if this fight gets made, not so much why he's my opponent, but if the fight gets made, period. You know what I mean? He says, Conor's not always going to be around. Whoever has the belt at the time will always be there. There will always be a 170-pound champion. So why this fight over somebody like Kamaru Usman? He's already kind of saying he's thinking he'd rather take the McGregor fight.
Money. Well, I think I talked about this on the last Spinning Back Click. And
I don't get it, though. If he beats Usman, he gets the pay-per-views.
But you got to hope that everything lines up in your way. You get the pay-per-views. Yeah, but, I mean, he got pay-per-views for Askren, right? Didn't he do that?
So I don't know, because there was a report. Remember Colby Covington said he gets pay-per-views? Mm-hmm. Ariel Helwani put out a report that he didn't get pay-per-views for the Usman fight. He just got his straight 500 grand. So who knows? Just because they're saying it, I'm not so sure that it's always true. It might be contingent on a set of things, you know, events happening,
mm-hmm.
so who knows, but he's basically sitting there like a bridesmaid waiting to see if Conor will ask him to dance. if he gets past Cowboy Cerrone.
Well, you look
right now, I think he could be focusing on the champion and then basically saying, hey, come to Papa. You know what I mean?
You see Jorge Masvidal. He's been on, like, Dan Le Batard show. He had that, was it XL Tone? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
He was on that show. I think that guy just doesn't want to become a superstar in mixed martial arts. I think he just wants to be a superstar in whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to be recognized everywhere. And I think there's something to be said about attaching your name to Conor McGregor, seeing your name in TMZ, doing all those rounds. I don't think he gets that if he fights Kamaru Usman. I think that's what he's thinking. It sounds like more money to me.
All right. Well, then I guess we'll have to stay tuned. A couple more fight bookings. Lando Venata versus Yancy Medeiros. That fight sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, because neither guy is stand top in front 10, of each other and bang.
Much less top 5. They'd be lucky to maybe be top 15, I think. In Rio Rancho, New Mexico, yeah, it's just got it's a highlight type of fight, but I like that fight booking. Another one, Neil Magny versus Li Jing Liang at UFC 248. Arguably, the welterweights right now are popping more than anyone else. Alex Oliveira versus Mickey Gall set for UFC Norfolk. You like that one?
Yeah, I like Mickey Gall, but I don't know that he's improved the way that we thought he would, right? So at this point in his career, if he can pull off a win here, I think it's going to be really big for him, and I think we can all get excited again. But if he takes up a loss, and especially if it's a bad one, then I don't know how much longer his UFC career is going to last.
Mm-hmm. Back to New Mexico, John Dodson versus Nathaniel Wood. Makes sense because that's where Dodson lives. I'm not sure if he's from there, but also, here's some news that is kind of sad. Here's some releases. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Rostam Akman, Alan Crowder. Our feelings aren't too hurt as of this moment. T. Edwards, Jason Gonzalez, Kurt Hollabaugh. Hollabaugh's fought quite a few fighters.
It's tough.
Yeah. Daryl Horcher, Sergio Moraes, Lauren Mueller.
Mueller.
Yeah. Zach Otto and Boston Salmon. Alan Zuniga is the last one. Boston Salmon, that sucks. We see him all the time at the gym. Poor guy only went 0-2, but he's 6-3 overall. So the two knockouts were just ugly. You know, that guy, mm-hmm. Khalid Taha, and then Randy Costa both got him by first-round KO.
Yeah, maybe for Boston, this could be a good thing. I think, you know, just go back and regroup and then go for another run.
Alistair Overeem, dude, if you're ever going to get some cosmetic stuff done, guys, go see his doctor. Have you seen his lip?
Mm-hmm.
It was split in half by Jarzinho Rosenstruck. Now it looks great. He posted a picture, and you can't even tell anything happened there. I don't even think I see a scar.
You don't even see a scar?
Not really. I mean, well, I guess there's something there, but
I think it was the best case scenario.
His face is mangled up a little bit from, you know, he's a fighter, so he's got scars and stuff like that, but it doesn't look like anything. It doesn't look like the worst thing on his face.
Yeah, considering what happened, I thought they did an excellent job.
Yeah.
If I woke up and looked like that, I'd say, whew, thank the good Lord, because that was one of the craziest injuries you'll see in MMA. I've never seen a lip split that way.
Rory McDonald, he split from Bellator, goes. He signed with the PFL. You down with that? He's going to be part of the whole, you know, regular season and million-dollar tournament. So that means he's going to have to fight a lot. And if he gets cracked in the nose, you know, that could stall things. You got to be pretty tough and durable. I'm not saying he's not tough, but durable, you know, he just hasn't fought that type of pace. And, of course, he's entertained retiring. You know, he's found the Lord and almost seems like violence just isn't so much his thing. It's like, okay, I'll do it because I gotta work and provide for my family, but he doesn't look like a happy camper out there.
I think it all comes down to how much PFL is paying him, because if you got him at a cheaper price, then I think, yeah, it's a good signing. But if you overpaid to get Rory McDonald, the thing is the guy is just not very good on the mic. He doesn't say much. He's a little injury prone. Now, granted, the reason he's injury prone is because he gives you a hell of an effort in the cage, a great fight. But I don't know that that's something that's good in this sort of format, right? So I guess I would be leaning more towards this wasn't a good signing, unless you tell me, man, we got him at half what Bellator gave him or something like that. Then I'd say, Good on you.
All right. Let's close with this. The shout out to the editorial team and our writers. They have been doing a great job recapping the top 10 fighters of the decade. So slowly we have been working our way from number 10 to number 1. Number 10 was Max Holloway. Number 9, Jose Aldo. Number 8, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Number 7, Ronda Rousey. And our most recent was Amanda Nunes. She's the number 6 fighter of the decade. And think about it, guys. Amanda Nunes, the UFC featherweight and bantamweight champ. 12-1 in the UFC. 5 title defenses. She's number 6. Can you imagine the beasts that are waiting for us from 5-1?
Greatest female fighter of all time. The GOAT. Not arguably the GOAT, which we say for a lot of the male fighters. The GOAT.
Yeah.
She's number 6.
Yeah, we got her at 6. Rousey, who broke all kinds of records. She had 5 or 6 title defenses. And she was waxing girls like in less than 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Khabib never lost in like almost 30 fights. He's number 8. Jose Aldo, an amazing fighter. He's 9. Holloway beat Aldo twice. He's 10. Oh, man, I can't wait to see what comes up from 5-1. And again, we're working our way to number 1 as we close out this decade. So keep an eye on that. And again, shout out to the writers, the videographers. Got to give those guys love. They're the ones that make everybody look good. The editors, the ones that look over all of this work. Keep an eye on our video franchises, the Spinning Backlick. Every Monday, we tape it, and it's put out just hours after that, possibly on Tuesday, excuse me. The Rankings Report, we put that out every week as well. The Off Guard series as well. And then we're going to have a treat for you guys as well. We're going to discuss these top 10 fighters of the decade. We'll be doing some of that taping as well, so that there'll be some discussion that goes along with each individual isolated story with video highlights that we've been producing here in this past week. So check that out. Folks, we want to wish you all again a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays and Seasons. Greetings to everybody out there that celebrates whatever holiday you celebrate. We hope it's a joyous occasion with family and friends. Please be safe out there as you travel to and from. And I guess we'll catch you on another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. Again, only one show this week, but we'll be back in full force the following week. So in the meantime, we want you to go out there and be a champion.